It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 307, entitled Wearing Many Hats, Literally. It was recorded on Monday, the 2nd of September, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous people today. First by Courtney Robertson, and by Bob Dunn, as well as Mark Westgard. Apart from the fact that I am literally wearing many hats, we do talk a bit about WordPress. Gutenberg 19.1 has rolled around, and we get into all of the bits and pieces, some of which is very, very developer-friendly and gives you lots of new capabilities if you are a plugin or theme developer. We also talk about the fact that Jamie Marsland has been given the job as the official WordPress YouTuber. What does that mean? There's a new event in town. It's a masterclass with Tim Nash. You can find out how to attend that in person if you're in the London area. Also, as an event, the WordPress Accessibility Day registrations are open to that. The new learn.wordpress.org website has been around for a little while, but how can we promote it? How can we make sure that people actually know about it? Let me say that again. 500 million new WordPresses are going to be out there as a result of the new migration of Tumblr over to WordPress. If you are a Tumblr user, apparently you won't even notice the difference. Do we need a marketing consortium to make it so that WordPress has some actual finances and clout in the background so that all the people out there can learn about it? And then we talk about data views, and Mark shares some things that he's been working on over at WS Form. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds.
Hi there. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and all of those other things. Good whatever time of day it is where you are. I appear to have developed in the last 3 minutes quite a nasty cough, and so I'll be coughing my way through this episode. Apologies about that. I will try to move the mic away, but it's gone all tickly. You know that when you can't really control it? Anyway, here we go.
It's water.
There he goes. Oh, good.
Don't make him laugh.
I'll share my inhaler with you if you need it.
I wish that that was transportable over the internet. That would be lovely. I could well do with some of that. That was the voice of Courtney Robertson. How are you doing, Courtney? Nice to have you with us.
I am doing okay, and I say okay only in that August has been a month of breathing issues, and I think I'm drowning in pollen. But otherwise, life is great.
Oh, gosh. Is that like hay fevery kind of stuff?
Yes. So lots of hay fever, lots of coughing in my neighborhood too.
Oh, okay. So maybe I've vicariously sucked some things through the internet. The only time I ever got hay fever in my life was in central the United States, like around Oklahoma, somewhere like that. I was driving through and I was on control. It was like streaming everywhere. And then I got out of Oklahoma everything was fine.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, there you go. Here we go. Anyway, let me introduce Courtney Robertson. She's got quite a long bio. I don't know if I'm going to get through it all, but I'll chop the top level items. Should I chop it up a little bit? Courtney Robertson, an accomplished open source developer advocate at GoDaddy, a dedicated WordPress trainer, training team faculty member, and a co-founding board member of the WP Community Collective. She effortlessly engages audiences with her relatable insights on getting involved and supporting contributors in the open source community. I think I'll stop there. Courtney's everywhere all at once. You know that film that was popular a couple of years ago? Courtney, everywhere, everything, all at once. That's what you are. And we're also joined by, where we go first? Let's go, Mark Westgaard, who's beneath me.
Ha! I'm always beneath you. No matter what the show.
Yeah, sorry about that. I coughed at the same time. Mark's bio is significantly shorter. It goes like this. Mark is the founder of the WordPress form plugin, WS Form.
That's it. That's all I do. That's all I've ever done.
No. That's all he does. You've got a cough there, Mark? You've got a cough?
No cough at all. And I've got water as well. Lubricating the voice.
Well, I'm very glad that you're with us. Thank you so much. We were supposed to be joined by Paul Halfpenny, but Paul Halfpenny has had to suddenly take a break from the show. And as luck would have it, Bob Don was hovering on Twitter about an hour ago when I asked if anybody wanted to come, and he immediately popped in and said, yeah, I'll do it. And look, all I can say is, nice hat, Bob. What's going on there? Where's your normal brimmed hat?
Yeah, this one, I needed something for the flight over to Portland, WordCamp US, that didn't have a brim. This one just popped into my hands, and I tried it on, and it was rather horrifying at first because I thought, God, I look like some other podcaster. And then I figured I'd just suck it up and not worry about it.
Okay. I wonder which horrible podcaster who could you mean? I have no idea. Although it does bear a striking similarity to my hat, God forbid, that's what you meant. Yeah, these hats are great. Like you say, when you're on a plane, you can just rest, can't you? Because there's no brim going all the way around. So anyway, what that's prompted is I've got a collection of about 20 hats next to me. Most of them are my school's kid hats, like winter hats and things like that. And so I've made it my mission during the course of this episode to wear every single one of them. And it's going to be hard because it really is genuinely a huge pile. What I'm going to have to do in a minute is plug some headphones in because I suddenly realized I won't be able to, how the heck is this going to work? Look, if I try to get this little chap on, it's just going to have to
sit on. I feel ready for sledding with that hat for the audio listeners.
Yeah, I feel ready.
This is a knit beanie hat with a pom-pom on top.
Well, you're going to see that and so much more, Courtney. I bet you can't wait. The words plumbing new depths comes to mind. Anyway, let's see how this show goes. Oh, we're off to a great start. Bob's bio, by the way. There's Bob. It's Bob Don. Look, there he is. Goes as follows. Bob Don is a man with a new hat, which is just like a multitude which Nathan already owned. I wrote that biography. And do you want to give us your biography? What would you say about yourself, Bob?
Oh, that pretty much sums it up at this moment in time. So
perfect. Look, Courtney's in the spirit. Yeah. She's gone and got herself a Pagely. Is that Pagely logo?
It is. It's a never worn outside of my house. It goes with today's shirt, which is the Pagely long sleeve hoodie.
Okay. Honestly, this show's going to be.
We're onto a fashion show, Adam.
Oh, look, everybody's going.
Now we've all got one.
It's a fashion show.
Yeah. Honestly, a few weeks ago, Matt Mullenweg at WordCamp Europe said he wanted WordPress to be more fun. And I thought to myself,
hats.
This show needs more
fun. It's always been fun.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. I'm following Matt's instructions. Right, so that bit out of the way. The introductions are done. I'll just do the normal housekeeping-y stuff. Thank you for joining us. If you are joining us live, that's great. Best place to do that. Oh, I can see there's a few comments there. That's really nice. I'll get to those in a minute. Best place to send people, if you want your friends, colleague, relations, whatever, to join us, is go here. wpbuilds.com/live. Yeah, look, he's a pro. Look at Mark doing it.
I can't get it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Courtney, don't even try. Oh, gosh, this is going to be tough. There you go, wpbuilds.com/live. Send your friends there. Two options. If you're on the, if you're just using the regular browser, then you can use the comment box on the right, but it's Google comments, it's YouTube. So you need to be logged into a Google account. But if you don't like Google and you just want to, you know, use anonymous comments, then there's a little black box in the video player. You can click that and you just type in your name and it's the comments that come through the actual system itself. Okay. So yeah, wpbuilds.com/live. Thank you to those people who've already made a comment. We've got Adam. Adam, who is that? What's that?
And
avatar?
I believe that is our Max friend Headroom? Adam Silver from Kitchen Sink WP.
Perfect.
Who is sporting a Max Headroom look.
That was
today.
It. Max Headroom. I remember
that. It's like
that
a throwback
well.
To the 80s for the kids that don't know. That was the first, AI idea, I guess maybe I was exposed to.
Yeah.
It was this talking head kind of video on MTV, among
yeah,
other
it had
places.
It had like cool computer graphics in the background. It was really cool. I used to love that show. Thank you for joining us, Adam. That's great. He says, indeed it is, Max Headroom. Patricia says, hi. Nice to have you with us, Patricia. Friendly web guy, which I now pretty much remember is Dave Gray, I think. Dave, if it's not you, I apologize, but I think it is. Everyone got AV installed. I like it. Yeah, not me, apparently. I'm on a Mac. I thought that would prevent me from getting anything, but clearly Courtney's virus has got right through it. Mm-hmm. And as always, Peter Ingersoll brings us the weather from Connecticut. Good Labor Day. What the heck is Labor Day, by the way? What is that?
I think you're supposed to work on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, I'm here. I'm an American doing the typical American thing.
What is it? Is it like a national holiday? Everybody gets the
it
day
is,
off,
kind of. Yes. Okay. And it celebrates basically the end of summer informally, okay. As well as giving workers the day off. I would encourage folks to Google for research. But okay. It's a banking and school holiday for sure, federal holiday.
We have similar things that we just call them bank holidays, but today is not one of them, or at least I'm not aware it is. I can't ignore them all.
In my defense, I also flex my time and will take off at other times. So
oh, good.
All of you Americans that recognize I am sort of on the clock right now, I don't know. Trust me, I will be not around Friday afternoon.
Okay, you're taking it off.
Time manager.
Anyway, so the weather, though, this is the important part. It's 21 degrees centigrade, 70 degrees Fahrenheit with clouds and sun. That's about what we've got here, Peter. That's about the same, actually. So, yeah, you're in good company. Lawrence Ladomery, I'm guessing joining us from Australia, unless he's moved, saying hello. Everything everywhere all at once. It was 2022. Adam, giving us the knowledge. Thank you so much. Yeah, we are going to be changing the hats. I'll do my first change in a moment. You can look forward to that, all of you. It's going to be bad. A green Smurf hat. No, I don't have a green Smurf hat. I'm sorry, Andrew Palmer, but I do have many. You'll see. And then Webaholic. Hey, panel, I'm seeing a lot of people moaning about WordPress and the direction they're going in. It almost feels like it's trending to hate on WordPress. Not on this show, Webaholic. We love the WordPress over on this show. So, you know, I think you're in safe grounds. Lots of comments. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It all feels negative and demoralizing. You wait till you've seen the hats. And I think Andrew Palmer saying my WS form mug is chipped. I need another one, please.
Okay, I'll send you another one.
You could just organize that. Please.
Problem solved.
God, there's so many comments. This is crazy. Okay, I think I'm going to have to stop there. That'll do, I think, for now. Let's crack on. Okay, there we go. Right, so here we go. It's This Week in WordPress. We're going to talk about WordPress, obviously. And this is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you go to this site and you put your email address into this and click this button here, we'll send you a couple of emails a week, one to say when we produce two of the things that we do. This is the first one, and we repurpose it as a podcast episode, and it'll come out tomorrow morning at the ungodly time of 7 a.m. Who knows why we do that, but we do. So it'll come out tomorrow, and then also the podcast episode that we do on a Thursday. So that's all you'll get. Ramping up towards Black Friday, I might just spam the heck out of it, but I'm not intending to. You never know. But our sponsors, look at these nice companies. GoDaddy Pro. Oh, thank you, Courtney. GoDaddy Pro, keeping the lights on over here. But also Bluehost. Thank you to them. And OmniSend and Memberful. And when we produce the content, we'll spin a proper ad in to tell you a bit more about their products and services. But thank you to those four companies. Really appreciate it. And let's crack on. Here we go. First article. Ah, what a joy to go to the WP Tavern website and not see Nathan Wrigley's content. You know, it got a bit stale over there. But now we're back. And I forgive me, Jolzner. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Whoever you are, I really appreciate you stepping in and doing all this hard work. But the name is spelled J-Y-O-L-S-N-A, and I haven't had the good fortune of meeting this person yet, but I'm going to say Jolzner. Apologies again if I butchered it. But thanks for the articles, which are now coming thick and fast. We'll show a few of them today. This first one came out on the 30th of August, and it's entitled Gutenberg 19.1 Introduces Plugin Template Registration API. I've seen on Twitter a bunch of people who are cleverer than me in terms of code, plugin developers, theme developers, getting really quite excited about this. Just going to read what I've highlighted. Gutenberg 19.1, the highlight of this release is the Plugin Template Registration API. It addresses a longstanding issue developers have faced with conflicts between plugins and themes, particularly when dealing with custom post types, taxonomies, or virtual pages. This new feature allows developers to register block templates directly with their new plugins, providing fully customizable default content layouts. Till now, developers had to use multiple filters to register templates. By building on the Gutenberg block system, this update makes it easier for theme and users to adapt and personalize templates according to their design and functional needs. And then it mentions that Justin Tadlock has created a detailed tutorial, which is here, over at developer.wordpress.org. That was on the 29th of August. It is very long and very technical, so we won't get into that on a show like this. But me being me, I don't really know why this is cool. So I'm going to hand it over to, well, I imagine Courtney's probably got her fingers on this, and also maybe Mark being a, you know, plugin developer. Can I go to you first, Courtney? Do you understand why this is as cool as all the people on Twitter are saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So Nathan, I think we're due for a hat change. I'm going to bring out the vintage Modern Tribe visor here. And I say this because, hey, one of the hats I used to have was working at the events calendar. And when I was at the events calendar, we were one of the first to market on having Gutenberg support for the events calendar plugin. I haven't worked for them in 4.5 years. Loved my time with them. But I think about, you know, when we were dealing with creating the template for the custom post types, that's not particularly easy for people to just modify how that template works. So if they install a plugin that makes a custom post type or hooks into regular post types, I would imagine the ability for how you lay that out, where the information displays, was quite rigid up until, well, I mean, still kind of is at this point. And what I am understanding so far of the template API, not having had time to dig into it yet, is that this will empower the plugin developers to enable folks to put the layout together in their custom post type however they would like. So I think it's going to be a really big win, but I'll turn it over to Mark for a lot more details because I think he's probably got more ideas of how he's going to implement it on WS Forms.
Before he does that, though, I'm just going to raise this comment by Tim Nash, who is getting in there nicely. He's following on from the comment by Andy Palmer, saying, Mark, my WS form is lost in the post. Any chance can you send one? And there's another comment, which I won't raise on the screen, but it's from Nathan Wrigley, and it says, Dear Mark, my $20,000 has been lost in the post. Please can you send me that as well? Anyway, humor over. Elliot Machine. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Mark.
Just jot that down. Please.
What have we done?
Plugin template registration API, says Elliot Richmond, has been a long time coming. Opens up huge gap for plugin developers. So over to you, Mark.
Well, funnily enough, I actually don't use custom post types in my plugin because it's all custom tables. But I still do a bit of web development on the side. I'm working on a website for a company right now. We're actually building them a theme so they can use that theme on multiple websites. So this is going to be really helpful for that because we can register a template for the custom post types that we have registered in that theme. So for example, we've got a post type called campus, which is, you know, all the different campuses that this client has. And at the moment, it's a little bit difficult. You can do it, but you have to use a bunch of filters and stuff to build out the content for those templates, for those post types. So now we can just register them using these new functions, which is going to make it a lot easier. But you can also, you know, having a read through Justin's tutorial, one of the other things I didn't realize is you can actually register templates for kind of custom URLs as well, which is nice. So different, what I call rewrites in WordPress, you can create a template specifically for those. So it's not just limited to custom post types. So yeah, it's going to make things a lot easier for people. Yeah. Justin, if you read Justin's tutorial, he's got some good tips in there on how to program it and make it easier to use. Because there's basically a parameter in the function where you can just dump all of the markup for the template. But he's put some suggestions in there about loading the template file in just to make it easier to edit so that all the code coloring and stuff is working. But yeah, great article. But it's not something we want to go through on this show because it's quite involved.
Yeah, it's a really long one, but also it's not the kind of code.
Yeah, very, really very cool.
Really work on a show like this, but I'll just quickly do a couple of other things before I hand it over to Bob if he's got anything else to say. Just a couple of things here. Other notable changes in this Gutenberg 19.1 are improved data view extensibility, better defaults for the zoom out view, added border support for core blocks, and a couple of other things. Bob, anything to say on this?
Oh, you talking to me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just distracted by the thing on your head. I can't understand a word anybody's saying.
It's an elephant sock. Okay. I went to the the local zoo and asked if the elephants had any socks available.
Okay. I don't have anything else to say, and I'm going to look away.
Well, all I can say is the show is only going to go downhill. You'll have less to say. What's new? On. I don't know. I think this is quite a nice one. It's a nice green number with a little bubble on the top. And frankly, I think it's a good look. I could be an Oasis or something.
Yeah.
There's a comeback coming.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. It's all the news over in the UK. They've set up Ticketmaster to do this sort of like it's a bit like surge pricing for Uber. Mm-hmm. And they've set it up, and it's not Ticketmaster offer this functionality to do surge pricing, and Oasis's organizing team have obviously implemented that. And the tickets immediately went from £150 up to like £600, and then in some cases 6,000 people were paying. And so there's been this big backlash, but people are still paying it. So
I managed to get four tickets. I have no idea how.
For the regular price?
Yeah, I was up late doing programming as I usually do, this boy. Well, I was the support tickets at ridiculous hours. And I thought, well, I'll ever go, and I went to Ticketmaster. It said, you're in a queue. And it said, you're 2,000th in line. And I thought, that's ridiculous. I'm never going to get to the beginning of the queue. And then half an hour later, it popped up and said, buy your tickets. And I went, okay, I'll have four. And it just went through. And I thought everyone was having trouble. I think they were. And then I went back on it. And then it said, you're 800,000th in the queue.
Wow. So
somehow I managed to get in there and got a cheap ticket. I didn't get
it. Wow. Mark, you could literally, get another house for what you could sell those for, it would seem. Right, I've had enough of this.
For a lot of money. Yeah.
Take this nonsense off. Right, there we go. Right. I'll bring you another one in a moment. Okay. Thank you for that. It says Nathan's wearing a tea cozy. I have no words. It's not a tea cozy. Dress for Portland. Yes, it's going to be chilly.
Courtney has an impressive collection of hats to one side.
Yeah, I'm going to bring on.
That's a nice hat. I like that one.
I'm going to implement the. This is more like yours, Bob, I feel. Once I've got this on, it'll look a bit like yours, a bit darker. Yeah, so let's
wipe that on
quickly. Here we go. There you go. There's barely any difference between me and Bob now. We always get hijacked. Now we're on to Oasis. All right, Oasis cast. The band is so popular, it's beyond me, says Andrew Palmer. It is beyond me as well. They reckon, Andrew, is in the paper today, that they're going to make £400 million off next year's concerts, which is insane. Right. Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk some more about WordPress, shall we? So this is Anne McCarthy. She's got a website, which is called nomad.blog, and she's requesting your help. She wants to enable people to help her test the block bindings API. So there's not really a lot to discuss here. I'll just quickly read through it. The block bindings API was launched in WordPress 6.5, and it has allowed you to bind core blocks to read from different sources without needing to write custom blocks in boilerplate. In WordPress 6.5 and 6, this was all done via code, but for the upcoming 6.7, work is underway to change that to enable a UI, and it's a big change, and so we need people to help. So that's really all I'm raising this for. If you go to nomad.blog, search on the blog. This post was written on the 29th of August, 2024. There is a playground button. What a joy. The ability to click that button, and you get a full demo of the whole thing just by clicking that button. And then there's some more things down here about the different things that you can do and how you can report various different pieces and bits. I don't suppose any of you three have anything on that. I just wanted to report that that's what Anne was trying to get help with. If you do, say now, and if not, I'll just crack on.
Yep, just another cool feature.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right. Next one. This isn't all that new because I think this happened a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I know it did. But I was away. I had a little break last week, so it never got surfaced. But this... This is to say that WordPress are upping their YouTube game, and they have appointed Jamie Marsland. He's been on the show a couple of times. He's been on the podcast a few times, and he has become, I want to get the word right. I think the correct terminology is head of WordPress YouTube, or head of YouTube for WordPress or something. And his job will be to oversee the creation of high quality content, ensuring the channel remains a valuable resource and a source of inspiration for WordPress enthusiasts worldwide. Just to say, this is quite an interesting stat. Since October 2022, when WordPress TV began syncing their content, apparently there's been a, sorry, this, I'm saying that wrong. This is since 2023. There's been a 6x increase in the engagement with the channel. So obviously this is an increasingly important channel. And bravo. Well done, Jamie. If you've watched his content, he's gone from, well, I think it's fair to say that a couple of years ago, it was certainly a smaller audience than he's got now. And now he's got about 500 gazillion people follow. I have no idea how many, but last time I looked, it was an eye-wateringly large audience. And it's largely to do with the fact that he's been making great content. Speed builds, Gutenberg stuff. So congratulations to him. And I'll throw it open. Mark, Courtney, anybody, Bob, want to say anything about that?
I had a quick chat with Jamie about this, and he's really excited about it. I think he's quite looking forward to being employed and having a regular job to be able to do something that he really loves to do and something he's very, very good at. I can't think of anybody better to do it. So congratulations.
I've no idea what you just said because I was changing my board.
It was all about you and your hats.
Yes.
It wasn't spoken. Oh, was it? Oh, damn. So what did you say?
Congratulated Jamie and says that he's doing well. Nathan is wearing a beige, it looks like perhaps crochet hat, although I don't know my crochet and knitting.
I think this one came out of the crochet school of hat.
It's kind of like those old salon hats for people that got highlights where you could like pull the hair through the hole. The ladies might know what I'm talking about. There's like a series of holes through this entire hat. It's wonderful. I, at the time, am wearing a black hat with a WordPress logo that kind of is embossed and raised off on there. Jamie, I think, is absolutely needed for the YouTube channel. What strikes me as something to do first, Jamie's posted a few places in Facebook groups that I'm in, as well as on Twitter and a few other spots, seeking feedback from the community about what we would like done with that channel. So first and foremost, I'm of the school of thought that Andrea Middleton instilled in me ages ago, that those who are sponsored often do the unseen work for those that are not sponsored to be able to flourish. So we keep the lights running, right? And I say that because my role at GoDaddy often empowers me to contribute. And part of that is to make things better for other people who are not paid to be there. So as part of that, one of the ideas I submitted to Jamie was a real need to focus on the SEO quality of what we already have on that channel. So the cross-posting came about through, there was an old meta track ticket that I helped resurface to Nicholas, who is sponsored by Automattic to the marketing team. Nicholas set up a Zapier integration so that any video, which would be all WordCamp talks, but not only WordCamp talks, that get uploaded to WordPress.tv can be cross-posted to our YouTube channel, which is a fantastic win. But what still wasn't necessarily happening is all of that SEO optimization around it. So two out of four of us on this right now are podcast hosts. I don't know how much SEO you put into YouTube. Nathan, I would guess that you skew more towards video content. So you probably have keywords that you put in there. You probably have meta descriptions, etc. That's not happening right now on the cross-posting necessarily from WordPress TV. And we do have a lot of content that comes in from Learn. We only have some things that have playlists. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have the playlists from, say, all of the camp talks, you know, WordCamp, whatever. And, you know, my most recent one was WordCamp Canada. Wouldn't it be nice to have the whole playlist of Canada already organized? And in the videos, those little lovely things that the YouTubers always do of, you know, the hover click links with the cards that send you to other parts of YouTube videos, et cetera. Just optimizing the basics of what we already have, I think that's really important. Of course, we're going to need fresh content and to think through that. But for so long, we have just needed to maintain, better handle the content that we have. Yep.
So that's really interesting. So what you're saying there, I'd just taken that post to mean that he was going to probably be in charge of, you know, creating new content going forwards. And obviously the SEO of that would be really important. Hadn't really thought about the whole back end of things where, you know, it would automatically consume the WordCamp things and, you know, going in and just making sure that content had, like you say, those little cards so that when you pause it, it gives you options to skip. And also, you know, the
taking
timeless.
Care of the existing teams.
The channel at the moment, if you go to youtube.com/WordPress, it has 36,500 subscribers, which to me seems like quite a small amount given the importance of WordPress. So I'm guessing part of Jamie's job will be to up that. But there's a bunch of content in different languages. There's the track from day one and day two from WordCamp Europe, but it doesn't appear to be... you know, the individual talks as such, although I know you can get those elsewhere. And then we've got things like Learn content is going on there, which we'll talk about in a moment. And there are a bunch of playlists from different parts of the world. So yeah, looks like there's quite a lot of curating and tidying up to do. So maybe that's going to be part of the job. Andrew, Bob, anything on Jamie's new appointment?
Andrew, did you call me Andrew?
Oh, yeah. I think I did. Because I'm hovering over Andrew Palmer's comment here. I apologize.
Well, despite your ugly hat there. No, I think it's great, Jamie. I mean, he's perfect for the role. I've known Jamie for well over a decade or more. And I was actually on episode 20 on our podcast like 5 years ago.
Nice.
He's the first one's on. So no, perfect fit. And like Courtney said, there are so many moving parts. I mean, to just not creating content, there's so much stuff. And I think if he gets in there and manages this and really gets things rolling, I've had a chat or two with him myself since then, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. We're getting getting the job title description correct from Elliot. Thank you, Elliot. He says it's head of WordPress YouTube. And Andrew says, this was the comment I was hovering over, now Jamie works directly for Automattic and is seconded to head of WordPress.org YouTube channel. Okay, great. Thank you. And then there's a bunch of other things, including, that's nice. Elliot's going for a coffee with Jamie tomorrow. So that's lovely. So there we go. Gosh, the comments are coming in quicker than I can actually keep up with them. Anyway, there we go. So Jamie is very active, says Daveden. on all the WP socials, and he's doing a good job in general. He's really good at creating.
Jamie, you'll be at WordCamp US as well.
Yes, so
if you're going.
Yeah, he's doing the. I think he's doing the speed build, isn't he?
Yeah, again. That's right.
And I can't remember who the two people are.
Brian and is it from? Okay, I'm drawing a blank. I know.
Yeah.
Is it
Amber Hines?
Yeah,
who is at Equalize Digital.
Oh, so that'll be kind of an interesting one, because obviously Amber Hines, one of the big reasons I know Amber is because of all the accessibility work that Amber does. So it'd be kind of interesting to watch. Brian, and I don't know what Brian's credentials are in terms of accessibility, but it may be that they end up going in two, you know, very different direction. You know, maybe Brian's going to just try to build the visuals of the site quickly, whereas Amber might be more, let's get the accessible version going. Oh, that'll be interesting. That was at WordCamp Europe. That was one of the, if you like, sellout events. Obviously, once you've got your ticket, you can go anywhere. But there was a bit of a standing room only for the speed build, but it was on track two. So had it been on track one, I think it, you know, it may even have filled that. I don't know, but it was over capacity. And so I imagine this time around, they're going to put him on track one now that he's got the new job. Anyway, long and the short of it is, definitely seems like the right candidate for that job. So well done, Jamie, because his content, how to describe this? You've all been to YouTube channels that are huge, and they flit around everything in WordPress, don't they? So, you know, they go into commercial products, they go into plugins, themes. And I felt that Jamie's constrained it more to like WordPress core and block editor content. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it felt like, you know, he really was creating his own territory of being the person that was talking about what a WordPress can give you out of the box. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I think, you know, the audience has grown and he's been really good at it. I never make content where I talk to I'm always on with somebody else asking them. And I can't even imagine how difficult it must be to come up with the ideas, execute the ideas, make them interesting and all of that when you are the only person involved. So hat tip to Jamie for doing all of that. That's pretty incredible. Okay. We were talking about Learn a moment ago. Let's crack on with that for a little bit. This is Catherine Presner. Apologies if I got your name wrong. And I'm going to offer this one up to Courtney fairly soon because I know that Courtney's really very involved. It's not on this website. I saw something earlier with Courtney's name all over it. This is about drawing new learners to the new learn.wordpress.org. And I'll just read the start to kick us off. Now that the new Learn WordPress is out in the world, and I'll open that in a new tab and we can have a look at it. We want to have a steady flow of new learners discovering the site and taking advantage of the valuable resources it's offered. So this post is intended to gather ideas on which recurring activities the team should prioritize first. And if you read this article, that's the intention of me raising it. You've got until the 10th of September to submit your ideas for how to make it so that it's discoverable, basically, that people discover the new stuff. And possible things might include marketing initiatives, increasing the training team's presence at WordCamps, providing learners and contributors with resources to easily promote Learn WordPress in their networks. And I think a fourth bullet point maybe could be like, you know, what can we do with YouTube and things like that now that we've got a dedicated person on that team. So, yeah, Courtney, over to you, really.
I need to actually write my comments here, too. After the fact, I will make sure I comment on this post, which I encourage everyone else to also comment on the post. So when I met Bob and Nathan both, this is a little bit of a throwback. It was during, I think, like a WordFest during COVID, one of the first ones. And at the time, I was teaching in a boot camp. And my boot camp instructors wanted students to come out. These are adults that were retraining due to being laid off during COVID, wanted the students to be able to be, advanced tech support or entry junior dev as a result of the training. But giving them WordPress as part of their training and wanting junior dev's output led to saying, oh, we need to make a theme. And for that, we need PHP. And here are the standards and the skills that the employers are saying that they need. And for lack of anything official, the bootcamp instructors did not provide the adequate amount of resources necessary to do that because they thought, oh, you just learn to use WordPress and then you're good. not for a junior dev. You don't just learn to use WordPress. You learn all the languages, even if you're front-end and PHP. So when I see Learn at this point and saying, how can we start reaching out? I begin thinking about my background as a vocational education teacher, career tech teacher in public schools in the US, as well as in boot camps. I had been an adjunct professor at a community college situation. And so there is educational outreach that we could certainly do to more official organizations and unofficial like boot camps. Boot camps don't really have a set standard criteria. I also think about certainly elevating when we are at WordCamps and meetups that there is this opportunity available, that materials are readily available for individual learners. But I also would like to see some additional materials for those who are instructors, and that we really build up that pipeline of reaching out to instructors with skills that will help people power 43% of the internet, we say, and what the job opportunity pipeline from that could look like. But I certainly think optimizing the content on YouTube as we improve the quality of the materials that we have available on Learn, I think tapping into some of the YouTube community around what they are finding with the video play length, et cetera, is important. The marketing initiatives that are there, we'll get into some marketing discussion that came up recently. I do think that there is marketing that needs to be done. Word of mouth marketing would be the direct outreach to educational institutions, right? That's going after educational influencers. But I think that there could be a lot more done in terms of promoting it for those that would also be direct learners. And I also think that reaching out to our ecosystem and saying, do you need to level up your own staff, your own employees, so that they are progressing in their career and here is a resource could be also a good option.
I would thank you for that. That was a really in-depth comment. Thank you, Courtney. And whilst you were doing that, I actually just scrolled through the new Look Learn WordPress, which has got all of these, they're called learning pathways. And the idea really is in the future, a lot of these are sort of spider diagram to each other so that if you finish one, you'll be able to begin another and there'll be, you know, a lot of cross-pollination between one. You might finish the user basic one and then want to go into basic plugin development or what have you. Completely free, of course. Well, free at the point of use. Obviously not free to create, but looks really credible. I do wonder sometimes if we're shouting into the void. Obviously the audience for this podcast, they're already really into WordPress. And that is clearly an audience here, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got intermediate users and you've got advanced users. So people who've been using WordPress for years, but also the beginner stuff. I wonder if there's a way of promoting that so that people who are just stumbling across WordPress and getting frustrated by the UI and the ways that they can't figure out how to do things, if that could be promoted maybe inside the dashboard, dare I say it. Okay, right. Over to Mark and Ryan. No, Bob, sorry.
I was just thinking the same thing, Nathan, about pushing this more on the dashboard. I've always felt that there's more opportunity in WordPress for like the onboarding process for new users, because you kind of install WordPress and then bang, you're straight into the dashboard. It would kind of be nice if there was an onboarding screen that, you know, depending on your level, you could say, yeah, you know, I'm new to this, take me to the Learn WordPress site and start learning about it. I actually watched some of these videos last night just to familiarize myself with them, and they're really, really well produced.
Oh boy,
content's amazing. Really nice visuals. It's not just somebody sitting there with a cursor flashing around on the screen. They've actually done some really nice animations and stuff to support the learning content. So I'm with Courtney on everything that she said.
We're in a tough
Mark, as you say that, it reminds me that in 2014, my coworker Drew Janes led a new user experience group called NUX, N-U-X, New User Experience, that indicated even then about pulling in materials from Learn into the dashboard. And that idea was resurrected again by Andrea Middleton, I want to say around 2020. And for our audio listeners, again, we're switching hats. As I, in my job, I guess we all switch hats a lot. But Nathan has just put on a black, I don't know, it looks like, do you remember Goofy in Disney with the long ears where it's like the flaps of the hat go down to his shoulders, wings, like the long puppy dog ears? And It looks kind of gray or black fleecy, and there's a flap visor that can fold. I don't know.
I appreciate all of this, Courtney. I mean, you could just sum it up as in the word idiot, though. I think that would be quicker. Nathan,
I like he's about to go on an Arctic expedition
instead of watching it. You know,
yeah. Oh, Courtney! Courtney's now putting on a sort of beigey gray magnolia. Dare I say it, GoDaddy cap, which is quite nice for those listening to this. Okay, so there we go. That's the bits on learn, unless Bob has anything.
No, I totally agree. I had three of the team members on the podcast. They were talking more about it, Nick and Laura and Catherine. So it was a good episode. They really dove through it. Bob, our host, talked to them about it. And I know I've had some conversations and we're going to have some more conversations because I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I think that piece of trying to get outside the bubble a bit too is so important. And I've been thinking about it myself, different shows we have and how to do it. And yeah, I think there's ways to do it. We just have to all get a little creative and step out of the comfort zone. So yeah, I think there's some good opportunities. If they get enough people involved just to, you know, I mean, not all of us can do everything, but share thoughts and stuff. I think they can get some good stuff going. And like you said, Jamie, now doing the WordPress, the YouTube channel, it's going to, that's huge. I mean, that's another piece to have somebody actually in control of that and really thinking this through. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's really, there's so much potential.
So just to round that off then, if you go to this article, it's on make.wordpress.org. It's called Drawing New Learners to the New Learn.wordpress.org. And if you just scan through that, there's some ideas about, you know, what may happen. But the feedback would be appreciated about a month from now. About 8 days from now, a week from now, by the 10th of September 2024, if you've got any ideas. Because that resource is immense and it's growing and it's really professional. And it kind of deserves a lot of attention, I think. Let's see what some of the comments are. So Andrew Palmer's just asking, are there any share like buttons on the site? I'm guessing that there aren't if you're not able to find them and you're thinking that would be a good idea to have. Lawrence is saying there's a ton of marketing that needs to be done. And then interestingly, Peter follows that up with any mention of marketing initiatives in air quotes may result in emotional responses from some of us. We might come to something touching on that a bit later. I can't remember if that's in the later. But Andrew likes the new design. Yep, I'm totally with you. I think it looks really credible and professional and much better than the old one. And then Michelle's joining us. Hi, Michelle. Nice to have you with us. And she's put a hat on as well, which is really nice. Why don't learn simply do a simple CPT custom post type with all the other learning stuff in them? That would be awesome. Does CPT in that case mean custom post type, or have I missed the
I do believe so.
Okay,
Andrew, I would love to hear a little bit more. I don't know if I'm understanding the full question there.
No Okay, so Andrew, reach out to Courtney or just put a comment in and I'm sure Courtney will be able to reply to it. All right, so there we go, lovely new site, and there it is once more. Okay, so this is new. This is WPLDN, which is the WordPress London meetup. Up until now, the WordPress London meetup has been an evening event. It's kind of several hours. It's usually the last Thursday of the month. We had one last Thursday, in fact. We have a couple of speakers, and it's done in the centre of London, usually, and people know where the event is. But we're sort of stepping out the box a little bit, and we're just going to try this idea of a masterclass prior to the event. And so the first iteration of this is going to be with Sir Tim Nash, who is often on this podcast. And if you've heard him on this podcast and, you know, listened to any of the content that he's made, he's a WordPress security expert. And this one's going to be entitled Unlock WordPress Security Mastery with Tim Nash. And I'll just read quickly what it says. Connect, learn, and grow with WordPress professionals. Join the WordPress London Meetup Masterclass on October the 31st, 2024, led by Tim Nash, a renowned WordPress security expert. Gain invaluable insights into safeguarding your client's sites elevate your agency security standards, and ensure peace of mind. Secure your spot and become a WordPress security pro. And if you click on this button, you'll be able to find out more details. It's going to be, like it says here, on the 31st. So it is on Halloween, which is kind of perfect for a security presentation, if you ask me. And the idea is to turn up before 11 o'clock. It'll finish at 4. There'll be all the usual, you know, lunch and all that provided. And it'll be right next to the event location that we've been using so far. Klaviyo, which is the organization that's been sponsoring our venue, they're moving offices, and so they're in this kind of interim period. But the Ibis Hotel is literally next door. It's honestly about 10 feet from the front entrance to the previous place. So if you've been there before, you should know where to go. So if you're interested in that, if you go to wpldn.uk/masterclass, you can sign up. So forgive the somewhat self-promotion, but hopefully some of you will be interested in signing up for that. Anybody want to mention that, or shall I just move on? Okay, I will move on in that case. Right, we're back to the tavern. This is just a quick one. Registrations are open for Accessibility Day, WordPress Accessibility Day 2024. You can see the website here. You can check out the schedule and everything. If memory serves, the schedule is now complete and published, and you can see all of the different bits and pieces that are on. I won't stop on all of the different bits and pieces. But yeah, if you want to get your ticket, you can now do that. Quick hack tip to the people organizing it this year. The event is led by three from the board of directors. That's Amber Hines, who we were just mentioning, Bette Hannon and Joe Dolson. But there's also been a team of 8 team leads and 19 organizers. And this is interesting. I didn't realize that this was even a thing. And I don't even understand it, but it sounds like there's some credentials that go along with it, because it says the conference is pre-approved for continuing education credits for the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, Web Accessibility Specialists, and Certified Professional in Core Competencies certification. So it seems that if you're, you know, if you're into continual professional development, you might get some kudos for doing this. Forgive me, I don't understand anything about that. Those acronyms mean nothing to me, but maybe
that is amazing. I don't know of those particular organizations, but as a former public school teacher, I know about all of the continuing ed credits that I was required to do within a certain time period to maintain my license. And that is absolutely amazing to be able to include current events in that. I've often thought it'd be kind of cool if, you know, our flagship work camps could be included perhaps at that kind of a caliber at some point for those that need web development credits. But that's a conversation for another time.
Have I judged that right then, Courtney? Is that basically sort of like an accreditation system where, you know, you might amass a certain amount of points and therefore you can be accredited as a, let's get this right, an accessibility professional, web accessibility specialist?
That's right. How I would interpret that. And okay. It would be akin to my background as a public school teacher is what I would say. Okay. I am not particularly versed in that organization. But as a public school teacher, essentially things worked about the same way.
That's cool. That's really nice, isn't it? That's really, really nice. Just going back to what we were doing a moment ago. Oh, sorry, Bob, you've had your head chopped off there, or your body. Cheltenham are about to restart in-person meetups on the 24th of September, thanks to sponsorship from GoDaddy. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you. Elliot said thank you, Courtney, by the way, not me. Andrew Palmer says he's now doing the talk I did at WPLDN at Tunbridge Wells WordPress meetup on the 6th, just in case anybody's interested. Yeah, I should say the last iteration of WordPress London last Thursday, Andrew Palmer did a talk, and so did Nawak Maciek as well. So that will be coming to the website, the WPLDN website, as soon as we've got the video all lined up. And yeah, why not? Let's promote the Cheltenham meetup. For anyone watching, Elliot is looking for speakers.
Can I also plug that the WordPress DC meetup group, Washington, DC, just had a meeting this past week. Tom Finley, Beth Soderberg, and Tiffany Bridge are, I think, the main organizers there. And it is exciting for that one to be coming back online. DC in particular has had a challenge getting venues because of how many buildings in the DC area are held by the government, and they're impacted by, you know, where can meetups and camps be held and some of those rules. I believe this past one was the first back, and it might have been a Zoom only meeting, but it's the beginning. And that group was hundreds strong every month.
Wow.
As a meetup right before pandemic. They would get over 100 people at the regular meetups before pandemic began. So I'm excited to see a lot of these different camps coming back online and exploring some interesting ways with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The I think it's steady away with London. It's going up, but it's not like you reopen the doors and it floods back to where it once was pre-pandemic. But it's definitely, you know, as the word goes out and we continue to do the events, it's definitely ticking on. Anything, Mark, Bob, about the Accessibility Day stuff?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say is if you're a small business and you want to sponsor WordPress Accessibility Day, you want to support them, they're actually doing a micro-sponsorship. It's only $150, which is incredibly cheap to get your logo put on their site. So if you want to support them, rather than just getting a ticket, get a micro-sponsor ticket and help them out that way.
Nice. Nice, nice. Bob, anything?
That's what I did. So, yeah, definitely worth supporting any way you can.
Nathan's done a hat change, and this one is another black beanie type of hat with some sort of bauble on the top. It's primarily black with, there's some yellow, a little bit of maroon in there. And
it's very tall.
Yeah.
Surprisingly
and it's not homemade,
tall.
As the tag would indicate.
Yeah, it's like never been worn. Look, it's still got the barcode on it.
Yeah. I'm still rocking my stickers on my hat.
Yeah. This is probably something that was bought for a child's Christmas present that never got worn. Anyway, it's a nice little bobble hat. Mark hasn't changed his hat, nor has Bob.
I don't have any others.
No, it's okay. It's fine. It's a gimmick, and it's not a particularly good gimmick. I shan't be doing it again, but I said I was going to try and get through them all, so I'm going to get through them all. Courtney's lining something up. Wait for... Oh, now you're talking. Headphone. Yeah, you're going to have to take your headphones off, Courtney. Here it comes. It's a nice, old-fashioned... kind of brim hat. It looks like it's,
very nice.
That. All right. It's got a rim to it, nice little wide rim, and it's made out of, I don't know, it's woven fabric or something. It's got
it is an authentic Panama hat.
All right.
Purchased on a company team trip to Panama.
Okay.
But I am wearing it very poorly as I've got earphones on. And so it's now over the headphones.
I think of all the hats I've put on so far, this is my favorite. So you're going to prize this one out of my cold, dead hands. Right, moving on that bombshell. Here we are. Okay, this is really interesting. And it is also kind of not really a WordPress story, but it sort of is. This is over on the TechCrunch website, which we very rarely feature. Because, you know, TechCrunch don't often get themselves involved in WordPress news, occasionally when there's some major security problem or something. And this is tangential to WordPress, but it's to say that Tumblr are moving, now wait for this, half a billion, so 500 million, and they're calling them blogs, to WordPress. I'm guessing this is the number of users they've got. So I guess if you're a Tumblr user, you are one of those blogs with your username and password. And it says here, I'll just read it. Tumblr is making the move to WordPress after the 2019 acquisition by Automattic, which they got, by the way, they got Tumblr for $3 million. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems pretty cheap for half a billion accounts. Now Automattic will shift Tumblr's back end over to WordPress. We acquired Tumblr to benefit its different strengths, not water it down. We love Tumblr's streamlined posting experience and current product direction, the post explained. This is an automatician speaking, although I'm not sure who. We're not changing that. We're talking about running Tumblr's back end from WordPress. You won't even notice a difference from the outside. We're talking about one of the largest technical migrations in internet history. Some people said it was impossible. We accepted the challenge. And really, I think it's about getting it so that the automaticians who are running it are able to really understand how Tumblr works and that they can, I don't know, maybe make use of goodness knows plugins or whatever, or themes. Maybe you'll be able to click and install a different theme. So if you're a Tumblr user, which I confess I'm not, I don't think, don't know that I've got a Tumblr. Maybe I have, I don't know. But if you're a Tumblr user, you won't notice anything, but all of the data is going to be migrated onto WordPress. I don't know if this is going to be the world's biggest multi-site network or how they're going to do it. Not sure, but it's kind of a WordPress story, but not really. But half a billion. You can't even make it up. That's such a big number. Anything on that, you three?
Yeah, I got bobwp.blog on Tumblr. I started it, and I mean, it's basically my posts on there. But it's pretty cool because, I mean, I will know what's on WordPress, even though we don't know what's on WordPress. I will know. So
you'll know, but nobody else will know. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if there would be any, like, even minor little UI quirks that, you know, you spot as a, I don't know if you use it directly, you know, be kind of interesting to notice.
Yeah, it will be, because I mean, you can set, you know, it's got some features, you can set up your blog, a few customizations and stuff too. So it'll be interesting to see what it does.
I think
I am curious to see if this brings finally block themes to using post formats. So for those that remember post formats back in the day, Matt was really interested in what Tumblr was doing. This was long before acquisition. He was very interested in what Tumblr was doing with their various formats and wanting to emulate that in WordPress. Mm-hmm. And later we see that Tumblr was acquired. And I've submitted a proposal seeking that we get post format support in 2025. I'm going to, as best as I am able to breathe with my coughing that I've got going on, as well as knowing WordCamp US is coming soon, try to get in there and submit how I have configured 2025 or other default themes to use post formats and see if others can approve my slightly sloppy code. But I would love to see post formats finally come through. I enjoy them. Given that, you know, the trend with the Fediverse and things, publish on your own site, always own your own content, and then syndicate out. And so if I could put more into my own site, write my status messages on my own site and let that syndicate out, I would love to do that. And I think post formats could actually support that and enable it. Nathan is now on to a new hat. The top of it is, I think, orangey red in this lighting. It looks like he grew a lot of extra fur.
It looks like I killed a bear.
Yeah, it's kind of the same as before with the long floppy ears down to the shoulders. But now he's got, like, I don't know, dark roots and frosted tips for his hair.
Yeah.
Fur. That is coming out of this hat.
That was the look I was going for, Courtney. That was, you've hit the nail on the head. That was
I thought that was just your natural hair and you just taken a hat off.
Yeah, this is what it looks like under there. It's not good. I'm about halfway through. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off, but we'll keep going. So, Bob, you're a user of Tumblr, and Courtney just mentioned about like the Fediverse and Mastodon. I have a memory at some point in the not that distant past that you were going to be like natively supporting the Fediverse on your Do the Woo website. Did that ever come off?
It's actually getting close to being done. Fortunately, with my partnership with WordPress.com, I have a team working on it and somebody very well versed on it, basically person that created ActivityPub. I'm real excited about it. And we're looking at different ways to really do some unique stuff with it. And I'm starting to wrap my brain around it a little bit more. But that should be coming out here hopefully soon. And we'll see where we go, and you know, might experiment a little bit on the site and try some new stuff.
Nice. I should say that Courtney is now wearing
Panama hat.
It's a Panama hat.
This is another Panama hat. This is the one I purchased for my husband. And again, it's sitting over the headphones, so it looks.
It's a nice sandy colored Panama with like a green band going around the middle. And this is something I would be very happy to see Bob wearing. for example, webcams.
Maybe I'll do that.
No, but he's got like the blue version of that, hasn't he? Which is like the traditional one that we saw in the video that he made.
Yeah, I have about six or seven of them.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah.
I didn't bring that out, so I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Here we go. Let's talk about the Tumblr stuff. So Adam says the exact amount paid by Automattic was never disclosed, but it was widely reported to be 3 million. Okay. So we don't know. But Adam, oh my gosh. Wow. The valuation is significantly lower than the 1.1 billion that Yahoo paid for it earlier. It did really feel at the time like Automattic had picked up something that was right in their wheelhouse, but also something that was really cheap. But it doesn't feel like they've managed to make it work. It's not like everybody's now talking about Tumblr, to be honest. Reflecting the challenges Tumblr faced in maintaining its user base and monetization strategies under previous ownership. Okay. And then Tumblr currently loses Automattic $30 million a year. That's an interesting point. So the data and keeping it all the lights on, that's a lot of money, isn't it? So maybe moving it over to something that they're more familiar with, i.e. WordPress, will be a little bit cheaper.
I think that's what this is all about, is bringing this more into the Automattic realm. Because if it's running on WordPress, they're going to be able to maintain it much more easily than they probably can now. It's probably a lot of old code in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I know they've been working towards, you know, just generally making it more profitable. I know they've got the subscription system on Tumblr, which has started to make them an income. There are a bunch of layoffs and changes to people's role. I think it was at the end of 2022, I believe. So it's been an ongoing process for them to really bring Tumblr into their own domain.
What's the subscription model? Is it like a paywall for your home content?
Yeah, you pay for. I'm trying to think. There's I don't know if it's like a pro version.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an annual or a monthly subscription, I think.
Yeah. You can buy little add-on things to get more. Yeah. It's like buying check marks, except you're paying it to them instead of and it's not. It's not anybody can get them, you know. It's not.
Yeah. Whatever. It really does look a lot like Twitter these days, doesn't it? The way that the UI is set out and everything, or X, I should say. But I thought
to the blog, what you can do is you can buy, if you buy a certain, I don't know if it's available to everybody. I have to go back. It's like I paid a subscription for I could actually create a blog. So the blog looks totally different than the UI.
Okay. And I wondered if it was more like a Substack model where you pay into Substack to be able to see other people's content, but maybe it's not that Substack. No, it feels like more like a Medium kind of thing. Anyway, $3 million spent. Obviously, it's losing them if that figure that we've been given there is correct, $30 million. So maybe, as Mark said, this is a cost-saving opportunity. And Lawrence, quite right, it's a great opportunity to push the powered by WordPress type of message. I'm guessing it's got a user base that are still using it and going for it and what have
you. I presume from the front end it's going to look the same, but I'm imagining the admin's going to change for Tumblr users, right? So they
well if I go back to the article and if I can find the little bit, what did it say? Da-da-da-da-da. It says here, and I'll just read it. I won't put it back on the screen. We're talking about running Tumblr's backend on WordPress. You won't even notice a difference from the outside. So I don't know what
that
means.
From the outside.
So, yeah. Does that mean?
Change.
That's quite a thing to put on your users though, isn't it? If you've got half a billion users and you suddenly basically say to them, here's the block editor. As opposed to let's just keep everything the way it was. Well, we'll wait and see. Let's find out. But half a billion is no minor feat. So good luck, automaticians who were involved in that. Hope it goes smoothly, goes without saying. Right, we're over to the repository now. Courtney, I have a recollection that you wanted to say something before we talked about this article, which is all about the a marketing consortium.
So WordPress, WordCamp US 2024, Contributor Day is coming up. Please go register and sign up. Contributor Day this year, I took a lot of attention to put the tables where teams that naturally will be working together would be located. So did a little bit of extra digging into that. We have a couple of unique tables that are going on this year. So we don't have a few of the tables, like Tide is not particularly active at this time. We don't have anyone coming from WordPress TV. I would love to talk to people from support and also from Polyglots. Anyone that's willing to be the spokesperson of those tables would be great. But additionally, Nathan, if you could look down a little bit, go ahead down some more. There's a spot about the different teams that are coming. Yes, right there. Oh, expand to discover each team under Contributor Day teams. At the bottom of your screen.
Thank you. Got it.
Yep.
Just this bit. Yep.
This year, we've got BB Press, Buddy Press, and Gather Press having tables,
nice.
Which will be new. The marketing team originally had planned, because it is currently experimentally paused, we'll say, the marketing team was planning on working on the WordPress showcase. But in light of the next story, there will be a meeting around 2 p.m. to discuss some of the ideas that came out of this next story. And I'll just kind of set it up for there.
Okay.
So 2 p.m., if you're interested in working on marketing consortium things.
Can you just reiterate 2 p.m., which time zone and what date? Sorry.
2 p.m. during Contributor Day at WordCamp US. So,
well, Pacific time, I guess, on the local Contributor Day. Thank you so much. Yeah, okay. Yep. And I can't remember which day it is, the Contributor Day. Is it a pre or a post? I can't remember.
It will be up
Tuesday.
First.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, it will be up first. I believe, so in my head, I want to say that this is the 17th.
Okay.
Is the very day of the event. And I am lead organizer. So wish me luck. Give me cough drops and coffee. That would
And hats. Make sure you've got many hats.
I do. Because
you literally will be wearing many hats in the figurative sense of the word. Oh, thank you for organizing that. That's amazing. The Gather Press one has got me interested, especially from taking on some of the responsibilities for the WordPress London meetup.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting one to sit down on. I'm just trying to find it. There it is.
Yeah.
Gather Press.
That day that they're hoping to connect with the Meta team, Gather Press is aiming to hopefully replace Meetup.
Yep.
And right now what they need to do is get a few more details in line so that they can have a test version of GatherPress running on the WordPress.org sites. Patricia WT, your tables around BuddyPress, BBPress, and GatherPress are all near each other and close to Meta.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, so that was Courtney. And by the way, I should say, I'm looking at the WordCamp US. If you just Google WordCamp US 2024, you'll get here. And then I use the menu. I went to About and then Contributor Day. That was the menu that I did to get to here. And you can see all of the
Please
different
sign
experiences.
Up. We've got lots of space, but we also want to make sure that everyone that comes has food. And also with the signups, that will just help us better get a head count on how many seats to put out, tables, etc. We've got space, but still, it helps to have head count.
If people... So let's imagine that you're undersubscribed and people just show up.
Yeah.
Will they be accommodated? I can't remember I think it was in Athens or it might have been Porto, where many, many, many more people than had subscribed for that day showed up and everybody was asked to sort of basically have half as much lunch as they might otherwise do. Is it okay if people do show up? Then we're not going to be turning them away, right?
Up to the point of the fire marshal has
the capacity,
a code.
Right. Okay.
There's like a capacity limit.
Okay.
So we don't intend to turn folks away, but we would like to be good stewards with the budget and also adhere to what the fire marshals say about how many bodies in the room.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And then Nomad Skateboarding. Oh, thank you. It's just put a love heart, I'm guessing, in conjunction
Mark
with
Andrew, it's been some time. Hello.
Yeah, that's great. And Patricia, of course, heavily involved in GatherPress. She says that there's an update about GatherPress coming on the community site soon, she says. So keep your eyes peeled. It's a really interesting project if you're an event organizer using Meetup that doesn't want to use Meetup. Okay, so this was the article in question then. So this is Ray from the repository, and she has written a piece called Is a Marketing Consortium the Solution for WordPress's Stagnating Market Share? Let's not get into the whole stagnating market share thing, but let's just imagine that's a thing. Let's just say that's a thing. It's sort of climbing up to 59% or anything like that. And so during a podcast recording of the WP Product Talk, which is hosted by Matt and Amber Hines in this case, Miriam Schwab was there, and she suggested, well, I'll just read it. During this week's episode of the WP Product Talk, Miriam Schwab, head of WordPress relations at Elementor, which is obviously a gigantic WordPress property, proposed forming a marketing consortium of major WordPress companies. The goal: to pool resources and develop a clear, sustained marketing strategy to compete with aggressive advertising campaigns from the likes of Wix and Squarespace. Schwab's proposal followed an analysis of marketing data. Joost de Valk of Amelia Capital shared findings where essentially we'd got a slight stagnation, 0.28% month over month. And though this decline is within the margin of error, he says it raises concerns. So the idea here then is that a bunch of companies, big companies, would get together, pool their resources. And I don't know if that means financial resources or whether that means, just like almost like five for the future. It could be time, it could be money, it could be boots on the ground. I don't know. And it's an interesting idea. I guess the concerns that some people might have is that if we have marketing led by some of the big companies, how does that get skewed in favor of the big companies? Because, you know, we all know what that looks like. And so there's the proposal. Courtney, I'm going to throw it out at you first, because you had the, you had the intuitions around the link thing. Oh, you're going for another hat? Here she comes.
No. Oh. So I don't know if I can't really do this. So I've got two here. I've got, well, GoDaddy or Pagely. GoDaddy is Pagely. Pagely is GoDaddy. And WordPress, right? So I've got two hats.
That was nicely done.
Where to answer this one? One, marketing. It was very clear on that episode that the product owners feel that we need to be marketing WordPress, and also shared some of their concerns or ways in which they felt stifled, including mentions of the trademark and a few other things. So it becomes a challenge to say, here is my take on, and I'll pick on Mark maybe as an example, as a product owner, form plugin company. How does that help market WordPress? Also, from a contributor perspective, WordPress hat, we have everybody that's like, I know how to do this in marketing or that in marketing. And marketing is vast. And so we've got people that are like, I can write good content posts, I can do social media, I should be marketing. And yes, but I would really like to tease out or hear out further the ideas that Miriam has around a consortium and what the... So I never want to deny somebody the ability to contribute if they have the skills and capacity to do so. However, not everybody that contributes should be a core committer. Not everybody that contributes should have the keys to all the things that the meta team, our DevOps folks, do, right? And so there is a little bit of gatekeeping that goes on, because we don't want just anyone shipping all the code. We don't want 43% of the web suddenly crumpling. Marketing takes quite a lot of ideas. And I think in the past, we may have had some really good ideas, but for many voices, many opinions, things have not progressed. And we're seeing that that is a significant impact that we must address. And how we go about addressing that while making space for contributors of all levels. If we want the ecosystem that depends upon WordPress to participate in the marketing of WordPress, we need to hear out what those ideas are. And I think by having an audience of select voices in that conversation, that would help my employer. That would help smaller plugin themed company owners know what they're... I think that having what are the needs at these different tiers, different levels, and being able to come forward and say to our project leadership, here is the request, here is what we're proposing, here are the obstacles we have had in the past, and here's how we can get over those obstacles. I feel like that is absolutely vital and essential. I also think that doing so in a way that is mindful for any contributor, come what may, that is good at some niche part of marketing is also important to do. We don't want to belittle contributions where they come. We need to make space for those, but do so in a sincere way.
Andrew Palmer seems to love what you're saying, Courtney. He just said, how wise is Courtney? I'm guessing that's a rhetorical question, not an actual question. He's got a lot of other comments as well, but we'll first go to Lawrence, who says, the project should dedicate 10 to 15% of resources to marketing like all companies do. How, though, I guess is the question, isn't it? And then Andrew's got quite a few comments. He says, Amber's comments align with mine. Amber, where are the comments from Amber?
Amber Hines was part of that episode.
Oh, okay. I confess I didn't catch on to what Amber had said. Okay. Schwab also shared that no one can use the WordPress name or logo. That's what you said, Courtney, to advertise these products. That's for WordPress. That makes it difficult. If Amber's and my suggestions are taken up, the little guys will be looked after too. We just have to support WordPress funding, and that is why FundWP was set up with Dave Gray and I. Yeah, actually, that's interesting. So go and Google. I'm guessing it's been scooped up by Google by now. Go and check out FundWP, which is a project launched by Andrew Palmer and Dave Gray. And you can see what Andrew's intuitions are there, and it is a kind of, well, it's not Five for the Future, but it's akin to that. You know, everybody contributes a bit and the whole system works. And then Tim Nash, who we mentioned earlier, he says, the rivals all target specific niches. WordPress is powerful in parts because everyone can do and sometimes shouldn't do everything. How do you market to everyone successfully? It seems we spend so much time chasing others and worrying about our place in the web. Then why are we doing it? Okay. Bob Mark, over to you if you've got anything about this marketing consortium.
I'll go ahead real quick. I think that, you know, like anything that's happened lately in WordPress, let's not jump to any conclusions or make assumptions of when something like this conversation is first started, which is usually kind of what happens. And let's see how it plays out. Let's see what people have to say. Let's not go in and, you know, just make an assumption that this is going to happen this way, because I think there's going to be a lot of talk. And yeah, I think just, get involved, sit back, listen, and see where it goes.
I think, Bob, I would agree with you. Just because the companies are big and they've got deep pockets doesn't mean that they're misaligned. You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to steer the conversation in a direction which nobody ultimately would like. It just means they've been successful.
You never know what they're going to do. I mean, you know, what the ideas are and what will come out of it. So I think we need to all kind of take a, you know, say, hey, this could really work out. And let's get involved. Let's see what others are saying. Get in the conversation.
Bob, one of the areas that I heard a need on was actually on one of your shows. I was just listening to the one that Kareem did recently, talking about, it's dealing with scaling WordPress for the enterprise. And so Kareem is CEO at CrowdFavorite. And of course, in that sector, the needs are, why select open source versus not open source? And once you pick WordPress, or once you pick open source, why WordPress over some of the other CMSs? And that's just a very simplified version. But it was eye-opening to understand marketing from that sector's needs as well.
I think that's the thing, you know, listen to things outside the bubble, how other people are doing things, how other, especially open source software. Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's massive. Like Courtney said, marketing, so many facets to it. And it needs to really be drilled down before we make any assumptions on how this will even play out. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I'll definitely want to sit in on that at Contributor Day and hear what people are saying.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. Mark, anything before we move on? We're sort of running fairly out of time. So
very quickly, if you could bring up that email, the repository article again. There was a comment by Rich Tabor in that that kind of resonated with me.
Further down, sort of. Where's it gone? There, this bit.
Yeah. And what he's basically saying is that, you know, there are definitely people in the community space that could help us out with marketing the product. But at the moment, you know, you're looking at a marketing funnel, we can get people to the WordPress product. But I quite like the comment underneath. You can send twice as many people to WordPress today, but would twice as many stay? And I personally feel there's still a little bit more work to, like the learn.wordpress.org is a great example of where we're making improvements there. But getting people to the product is one thing, but getting people to use it and stick with it is another. And I wouldn't want to see the marketing efforts wasted by people coming to the product and thinking, you know, I'm finding this hard to use. And then I just wonder about the finances around this and, you know, how much money you would need to dent the WordPress space. Because if you look at the marketing budgets of the likes of, dare I say it, Wix and other people like that, their marketing budgets are immense. I mean, we are talking hundreds of billions of dollars a month at one point. So I wonder, you know, where's that funding going to come from and where's that money going to go? Because marketing is expensive. We're an open source project, but we're a worldwide project. We're all over the place. And to market something that large takes a significant amount of resource to do it. So I'll be watching the conversation on this and seeing how it goes.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, my intuitions on this are sort of changing as we talk, which is always interesting. You know, the idea that we might need something like this. Do we need a sort of CMO, a chief marketing officer under WordPress in the same way that we've now got a chief YouTube officer, if you like, with Jamie Marsden?
It's going to be a challenge, right? Because yeah. we're an open source project. We're built on the kindness and generosity of a lot of people that contribute a lot of time to it, which means on the flip side, we don't have the millions of dollars in there to be able to market it. So we rely a lot on word of mouth. We rely on the people like you, Nathan, that produce WP Builds, and there's a lot of other community members that produce content. So
Adam's offered himself up as the CMO for WordPress. There you go. Job
solved.
Right, we've done it. It's okay. Right, we can put that one to bed. Oh, thanks, Adam. Nice one. Okay, let's move on quickly because I realize we are fast running out of time. Okay, I'm going to hand this one directly over to Mark, sort of, because this came out recently. It's on the WordPress developer blog, and it's all about using data views to display and interact data in plugins. And I was just going to raise this article, and then kindly, Mark interacted with our show notes for this show, and he mentioned this DataKit, which is at datakit.org, a project by, did you say it was Zach Katz from Gravity?
Zach
View?
Katz, Gravity Kit.
Yeah, and then I'll also just quickly post what you have also done, I guess, off the back of DataKit and data views. What's all this about? What's going on, Mark?
So data views is a component in WordPress that basically lets you build different types of views, like a table view or there's a grid view. And they're going to be using this or already using it, I believe, in WordPress for things like template pages, pattern pages. Eventually, I think they're going to be using it for like post lists.
There's one there.
So it's a really nice, it's quite a simple but nice interface. I believe it's kind of JavaScript based and makes requests back to the server to get the data. So, and that's been around for, I think, almost a if not more than a year. So it's been sitting there being developed. And you saw in the latest release of Gutenberg, they've got some more improvements coming with that.
Yep.
And then, so Zach Katz has his team at Gravity Kit have developed DataKit, which sits on top of DataView, basically, and enables you to build views very, very easily. And the first version of this is you basically do it programmatically. So they've basically created some classes that you can write some PHP to build a view. And the next step of this is going to be actually having a GUI interface where you can build views, which is going to be really nice. And so they have lots of different data sources, such as Gravity Forms and also WS Form, which is the new one that they've got. So when they launch this, there's going to be Gravity Forms and WS Form available as data sources. So that means that any form submissions can then be displayed on the front end using a table. But they're going to have different views as well. So, for example, you could feed it a CSV file or a PHP array. So they're basically going to be encouraging people to build different data sources for this. So other form plugins could do it. Other sources of tabular data will be able to be fed into DataKit and be used. So this is an early mock-up. So there's a few things not working with it because we're still working on it. But you can see you can do page pagination. You can search by keyword, and that table there could be completely customized. So you can use images, you can use text, you can put links in there, all kinds of stuff. So it's quite a cool new product. It's very, very new. I think Zach literally released it 2 or 3 days ago. So they're still waiting for the plugin to be approved in the plugin repo. So once they do that, it'll be a lot easier to install it. Check it out. It's this is actually going to make it a lot easier for us because we have a lot of requests of people saying, yeah, I want people to be able to submit a form and that gets added to submissions, but then I want to show those submissions on the site. How do I do
that? Right.
This is going to make that a lot easier.
Okay. So on the example that we're looking at, it's a table and obviously somebody submitted in a form, a photo, a name, mm-hmm. an email address and a telephone number. And then you've got this really nice looking encapsulation of all that is paginated and you've got some settings where you can filter and sort and what have you.
Yeah,
all handled by DataKit. I mean DataKit.
Yeah, so that is the WordPress data view component right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the DataKit software that Zach Katz and his team have put together makes it easy to take any data source and use that data view on the front end.
That's neat. And it says at the top here, coming soon. Is this a feature that you're obviously, it's a couple of days old. I don't know what you've been doing, Mark. You know, you've had a couple of days, frankly. It's would have expected it to be out by now, but there you go. It's coming soon, right?
Yeah, it's there now. That sign up for updates actually goes to Zach's website because I was trying to get people to sign up for it and help him get an audience for it. But
nice.
The work he's done is great, and I'm excited to see where he takes it.
That's cool. So this is linked from this article on the developer blog, which using data views to display and interact with data as in plugins. I'll link to that in the show notes, but obviously I'll also be linking to the WS form piece and the DataKit as well.
DataKit.org.
DataKit.org. Thank you so mm-hmm. much. Yeah, that's great. I won't dwell on this because we really are out of time, but just to say, if you've got WPML, which is a translation multilingual plugin on your website, and you don't update sites regularly, please do update that because there was a remote code execution with a CVS score of 9.9, which is pretty critical. In fact, it's marked as critical, so just make sure you check that out. What else is there to say apart from The Onion? Now this great, I don't know if you follow The Onion. I love this website. It's just like, it's habitual reading for me. They've moved to WordPress and, this title is so great. It says nation wary of suddenly usable website, which I just thought was a fabulous encapsulation of the whole thing. There was a couple of other bits, but you know, I don't think we're going to have time to get into those, to be honest. So we'll just say, as we do in the UK, we'll knock it on the head there, if that's all right. I'm now sporting a beret. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I did a quick change there. And,
I did. I haven't spoken for a bit to describe it. Looks like it is, I don't know, is it black or is it more like an olive green?
I'm going for black, frankly. Oh, I don't know. Okay. I can't tell. Black. I'll go with black. And these are the other hats that I didn't manage to wear during the course.
Oh, my.
So maybe if I just put them on whilst we wave.
Just put them all on.
Nathan is wearing a pile of yarn in all of the colors.
There's so many on the floor already.
That's it.
I really have literally plumbed new depths today. And this one is sponsored
with logos. Some of them, some of them still have tags. Some do not.
Okay, we'll get rid of that little tag. And that's it. That's all we've got time for. What a show it's been.
Putting my first one back on for our photo.
Oh, you're going to give us the final. What the heck am I doing? I'm sure to balance it like that. And then maybe if I just pop that one on the top. Yeah, I can just do that. Look at that. what the heck? Right. There we go. Back to the beret. We'll be back, I think, next week. It's not WordCamp US for a couple of weeks, so I'll definitely be back this time next week, and then we'll be having a couple of weeks off for
WordCamp US. And you guys will all be there, so that'll be very exciting. That'll be really nice. But thank you so much to Courtney Robertson. Thank you so much to Mark Westgard and to Bob Don, who I think I called Gary or something earlier.
Doesn't matter.
No, I apologize. I'll buy you a beer when I see you. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for all the comments. There was absolutely loads. We didn't manage to get through them all, but we got through enough. I'm now going to collect my injured child from a forest somewhere. So we'll see you next week. Take it easy. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.